From Relevant Magazine, it's the Relevant Podcast.
It's the week of Friday, March 16th, 2012, and this is the Relevant Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and here with me in our Orlando studios is the very lovely Maya Strang.
Hey, hey, hey.
On her immediate left, Hambone.
Hey, hey, hey.
On the Skype line from Loverland, Virginia, Jesse Carey.
Hey.
And our illustrious producer on the ones and twos, Chad Michael Snavely.
Hey, hey, hey.
Okay, they're making fun of me because while we were testing levels, I might have said hey, 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 hey to test the different intonations and didn't realize it.
Well, I just thought that's how we started every week.
No, right? just the special weeks. It's my birthday today, so I'm in a hey, hey, hey mood.
It's a very special episode.
It is.
Chad got addicted to caffeine pills just for today.
Yeah. I've been up since 4:30.
He's so excited.
Yeah. I actually kind of have been. My plan today was, I just came in. It's lunchtime. I just came in. And my plan was, it's my birthday. I'm going to stay up late. I'm going to sleep in. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. Well, then, we're recording this on Thursday the 15th. My birthday's on the Ides of March. It happens to also be the NBA trade deadline. And after the game last night, all this crazy news about the Magic broke. Mm-hmm. And so I was up all night watching Twitter, because it broke on Twitter. I was up all night till 4 a.m. And then, you know, Cohen wakes me up this morning to give me a really sweet happy birthday thing he made me. And then I immediately had to check Twitter. I had to see what happened in the 4 hours I was asleep. And so I haven't slept at all. I've been like on my phone all morning. Like,
you didn't fall back asleep?
No, I'm so tired right now.
But as of now, news is good.
As of recording. Yeah, it's something actually while we're recording right now is when it's like supposed to become final. Like, mm-hmm. where he will sign, Dwight Howard will sign that he will not opt out. He will remain with our team.
For at least a year.
Right. And so that gives us the summer to improve some things and whatever. He just gives us some time. He wants to stay. He wants to build a legacy here. Great. But until he signs, which is, again, supposed to be during this podcast, mm-hmm. who knows, given the last 24 hours. So I am going to be very distracted today.
We could start this podcast very excited and end on a very down note. It's
gonna
or go, end on yeah. an even higher
yeah.
note.
Yeah, it's going to go down. It's going to be really...
Well, Cameron, we all, we had suspicions about your recent no-dose use. So this podcast is actually an intervention.
I actually haven't been sleeping. It's been a stressful couple weeks for a number of reasons.
Because of Dwight Howard?
Here's the thing.
It contributed.
We've had to make some big decisions, you know, about the company, some big projects. I had a huge presentation to all these national church leaders last week.
Right.
It's like every aspect of my life... boards, company, and sports has been sports. Incredibly stressful, all on top of each other. So yes, the Dwight thing kept me up. We had a really hard day at work on Tuesday, and I'm at the Magic and Heat game, and I was just in the worst mood.
He was ready to leave at halftime.
Did your mood turn after the overtime?
No, so here's the thing. In the first half, the Heat go on a 20-0 run. So I'm spitting fire at this point.
He's so mad.
And it's because...
It's an awesome date night.
Yeah. And then we win. We end up winning. But immediately after the game, Dwight looks sad. And it's like, this is his last home game.
Yeah, Cameron's overanalyzing everything.
I was like, I talked to Dwight. I hit him a high five. I'm like, hey, man, we love you. And he kind of looked at me like... I'm sorry. I'm doing.
Or
this
he looked
to you.
At it like, wait a minute, I recognize.
That's what I said. I go, it's like he's just recognized you for those. And then
he brings you in real close and whispers in your ear, "It's your fault. I'm leaving."
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, even in victory, there was an air of sadness, and so
in my head,
but that keeps me up at night. That's the thing, is I haven't been sleeping, so this may go off the rails real soon. So anyway. And it's my birthday.
Well,
so.
At 12:40, I mentally check out. So
for the every 12:40,
no, because
every day,
March Madness starts today too.
Oh, There's a tournament going on?
Yeah.
Baseball preseason? Anyone? Yeah?
Yeah.
No.
I watched a little the other night.
Yeah.
Who was the pitcher who hit the duck?
Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson?
Yeah, Randy Johnson.
Where the goose exploded.
Randy Johnson.
That was my favorite baseball highlight ever.
That was a good highlight.
It was pretty unbelievable. It's honestly, though, a little shocking that it took this long for that to happen.
Yeah.
Why?
Because, I mean, when you think about the amount of pitches that are thrown.
But how many?
I understand the odds are astronomically small, but there's a lot of people throwing pitches every night. They play, over 100 games.
Yeah, but how many birds are swarming on the field? I mean, that's not the common occurrence, is it? I don't know. I don't go to baseball games. Is the game so boring that birds just hang out on the grass?
and commit suicide out of boredom?
I played
flying in front of a 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
I played basketball all through middle school and high school, but I played baseball 1 year, my 10th grade year of varsity baseball. And my mom came to the first game, and in between innings, I was in the dugout, and she... it was like the second or third inning. It was not very long into the game. My mom comes down to the back of the dugout. Hey, I'm leaving. I'm like, why? She goes, this is like watching paint dry.
Oh, man.
And then she left.
Are you guys American? Are you American?
And then,
questioning your loyalty to this nation.
And then I think one other game, she tried it one more time, and she said it was like watching grass grow, and she left. Yeah. And she couldn't handle it.
Wow.
I was like, I agree. I didn't play baseball.
I'll get really excited about baseball for the first month, and then I'll lose interest.
And you're like, oh my gosh, there's so many games.
Then I'll start caring again near the postseason.
I think
towards the fall. Yeah. It's the spring and fall. I don't care during the summer.
Like, there's too many games. Sometimes I have to play two games in one day.
Get them all in. How many are there? Like
182.
Yeah, 182. Wow. If they cut that in half, every game would matter.
But it's so reassuring that there's a game on every day during the summer.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, who's...
It's so seasonal.
But nobody cares. You even said you don't care.
Yeah, but I like knowing it's there.
It's great to have on in the background for 3 hours.
It's kind of like the social justice articles on Relevant.
Yeah.
Nobody actually reads them.
Nobody reads them.
But they want to know that they're there.
Yeah. No, I just like
it's true.
And honestly,
it's true. All of our surveys are like, what type of content would you like to see Relevant cover? Social justice comes in number one every time. But whenever we cover
they don't click on them.
They are the lowest clicked articles. Mm. And that's why you don't see them as often, because we can't afford to publish stuff nobody's reading.
It's the same thing like on YouTube. It's like, I don't want to downplay it. I'm just saying, like, the tendency, like the Coney video, it's really well made and it's an interesting cause on a lot of things behind it. But in related, you see like Honey Badger remix and you're like, ooh, that looks funny.
Also, I will say I like Baseball Sports Center better than any other Sports Center.
You're crazy.
Like Baseball Tonight?
Like, no, I love Baseball Tonight. Like, the Baseball Tonight.
Are you just a big John Kruk fan?
Just like that block of Baseball Tonight followed by all the lead stories on SportsCenter being baseball.
It's pretty awesome.
Awesome.
I agree. I have the MLB.TV season package, and I will watch a game every single day of the season.
I'm about to get the March Madness season package.
Oh,
well, it's not a season package; it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, every game on my phone.
Well, technically, yeah, it's.
Oh, it just started.
You turn it off.
Ryan just checked.
I'm just gonna have it going on in the background.
All right,
just like a baseball.
Just
game.
Like you with your Dwight Howard stuff. You guys got important things going.
Yeah, I got my tweet deck open.
I don't know about you, but I'm reading a Reject Apathy article.
All right, well, wow, we're 86 minutes into the podcast. I should probably start.
I haven't started yet.
So we have a great podcast for you today. In studio, we have performing world-renowned worship leader Carrie Job. Carrie Job's joining us today. We also spotlight a new emerging artist that we're big fans of, Cheyenne Marie Mize. So stay tuned for that. But up first, your entertainment releases. Music coming out on Tuesday, March 20th. Madonna with MDNA, which I think is like...
Like the Madonna, like the old one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
The Super Bowl famous Madonna.
Mm-hmm. Hey, she was great at the Super Bowl.
So when you say the old one, you don't mean like Mary, Mother of Jesus.
Yeah, I guess technically Madonna's the new one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is her album title also the same as her license plate?
MDNA 1.
It's her vanity plate.
Yeah. Justin Towns Earl is coming out with Nothing's Gonna Change the Way You Feel About Me Now. Mike Snow with Happy to You, but I have to clarify in case you're typing it in to Spotify. It's Mike Snow, M-I-I-K-E.
Mike Ike.
Yeah, my, is it really my Ike?
No, I don't know.
He totally believed you.
Esperanza Spalding with Radio Music Society. Odd Future with the OF tape, Volume 2.
Try to get the clean version of that.
Is there
I
even
was going to say that
is,
sounds...
Is there even a clean version?
Yeah, it's. I think it's a, like half of a song.
There's always a clean version.
It's mostly muted.
If it's Odd Future, I'm not sure there's a clean version.
There's always a clean version. Not on Spotify, but there's always a clean version. You have to look. I'm telling you, Walmart. That's where you buy all my hip-hop.
Like, in the 90s, honestly, that's where you get it.
Honestly, the Odd Future clean version might just be like... a blank CD.
It's a CDRW.
And it's just like, put whatever you want on this.
Yeah. Make your own mixtape, kids.
I got the Mace CD at Walmart back in the 90s, and I was so mad.
You didn't know it was edited?
No.
Oh, you weren't living for Jesus.
I wasn't.
Then. Yeah.
I wasn't. So I threw it away and I went and got it.
You did not.
Of course.
It's just like listening to the radio.
Was that after you went to Christian camp?
Do you get mad?
This is before I found
Do you get
Jesus.
Mad at listening to the radio?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Tan Lines with Mixed Emotions.
Yeah.
I have mixed emotions about Tan Lines. Birdie with Birdie. And our pick of the week, The Shins, Port of Morrow. Movie releases coming out Friday, March 23rd.
Oh, boy.
Yes! I already know what you're going to say.
The Hunger Games.
Yes. Hunger Games!
It's going to be so whoop, good. Whoop.
It's going to be awesome.
Isn't it like Twilight 4?
No.
Electric Boogaloo.
starring Lenny Kravitz.
Twilight 4, The Rise of the Lycans. Revenge of the Lycans.
It's going to be so good.
Actually, that would fit.
We're angering so many people right now.
I'm not listening. I
know it's a phenomenon, whatever. Maya left one of the books on the kitchen table. I was eating cereal. I perused. I ended up reading like 3 pages. The whole thing was written in like simple sentences. Like it
well,
was,
it's young adult
which
fiction.
I found
it's
out later.
It's written for like 14-year-olds.
Which I found out later. I was like, I told Roxy, I was very concerned because I knew she liked the series. I came in, I told Roxy, I was like, hey, I read a few pages of that. Roxy, that is not well written. That is written at like a fourth grade level. Like, are these the type of books that you're, you know, excited about? And she's like, it's a young adult book. It's a great storytelling. She was very defensive. Are you watching the game?
Oh. I mean, yes, but I'm listening too. I was going to say, like, I mean, she also.
You can't multitask.
It's like
you
one so. Of those AT&T
what
commercials.
Was he doing?
Well, it just went to commercial.
Are you looking at the highlights?
It also.
Right. Yeah, you're on a date.
What am I, a summoner?
I hate that commercial because it's like you're advertising what every smartphone does.
Yeah.
Like, it's like every phone is a summoner. It summons information yeah. using this thing called the internet. Like, this is the most least clever commercial I've ever seen. Like, you're advertising a feature that literally any internet connected device can easily do.
Like, if you're on a date and you can't stop looking at your phone, like, maybe you shouldn't get a smartphone.
I'm just thinking maybe
you should date somebody else.
If there was such a big game going on. You knew, I mean, you know, you shouldn't be having
my,
your
yeah,
date.
Yeah, my
that
thing
night.
Is like, go how rude a, of her to like, if he's that big of a sports fan of that team, that she would make him go on a date then.
Well, if
but then he's
if
an idiot.
Just,
why didn't he be like, can we go out later?
To a sports
but if
bar.
It's just a date, maybe she didn't know.
Well, if it's just a date,
stepped up and
if yeah. it's just a date, why it's was she all fault. Like nagging him about stuff?
I promise you, they end up in a Cialis tub at the end of the yeah. night.
So, anyways, Hunger Games is gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
It really is gonna be great.
The series is awesome. The books were awesome. The it's movies official. Are going to be awesome.
Lenny Kravitz is
I like
awesome.
To read teen novels.
All right, breaking news. You guys are going to be hearing this a day and a half late. Breaking news. It's official. Dwight Howard's staying with the Magic.
Aww. Woo!
That
happy birthday.
I'll tell you. Maya, I appreciate the gifts you got me, but there is no greater gift than the gift I was just given.
All right. Any other movies coming out?
I'm just... Hold on, let me just savor this for a moment.
You soak that in. You watch. Continue watching the games. I'll think.
All right,
think Dwight on Twitter.
I need the break real quick. I need the commercial
I'm
break.
I'm summoning things.
I need the commercial break. Stay tuned. Up next, Slices. Feel like falling down. I'll carry you home tonight.
Yeah.
This week's podcast is brought to you by the new film, Holy Rollers. These pastors had a big secret. When they were not leading churches in worship, they were taking millions of dollars from casinos as a network of high-stakes gamblers. Sound like an elaborate Hollywood plot? Well, it's not. This story of Christian card counters actually happened, and cameras were allowed inside this risky operation. The result is Holy Rollers, a provocative new documentary being released nationwide this March. You can watch the trailer and learn more at holyrollersthemovie.com. That's holyrollersthemovie.com.
You're listening to Fun. The song is We Are Young. Tonight we are young. Chevy Sonic. I want to buy a Chevy Sonic now.
Advertising works.
See?
Oh.
At the beginning of the podcast, you heard Santa Gold with Disparate Youth. It's her new single. The video is playing right now on Relevant TV. It's time for Slices. I'm going to sit back and savor this when the Dwight Mare is over. Jesse.
The Dwight Mare.
Jesse, what do you have?
Oh. All right. Well, chalk this up on one of the best ideas I've ever heard list.
let me get out the chalkboard. Hold on. Best idea. One of the best ideas Jesse's ever heard list. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So right now there's this and pizza combos.
Okay.
There's a company in the UK called Wish. And basically what they do is they set up things that you can do on like your birthday or for a party or something. Everything from like a spa day to like, let's say you've always wished you could own like a sweet Ferrari or something. They'll arrange it so you can drive one around for the day. Well, their latest piece of vacation inspiration is a zombie boot camp.
What?
Okay. So it's essentially, you know, remember the old like baseball fantasy camps like Kramer went to
no.
on Seinfeld?
No. Where he ended up hitting Mickey Mantle.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Or he like slid in and took out Mickey Mantle. It's similar to that where, you know, people who've always dreamed of playing in Major League Baseball, but that dream will never be realized at this point in their life, you know, at one point could pay a certain amount of money and actually play baseball with former Major League icons. So this is like that, a similar idea, except it's with zombies. So for a couple hours, it costs about $100. You're outfitted with Kevlar, like body armor and helmets, and they give you actual tactical training and train you on a variety of weapons, which are suitable for this type of thing. So like airsoft and things like pistols, grenades, and chainsaws. So then you go and you have to clear like a compound of warehouses from zombies, which are, I guess like actors dressed up as zombies, but I guess you sign a waiver where they can like tackle you and you can get taken out of the game. Either way, it sounds awesome.
Do you get to kill the people who are acting as zombies?
No, because zombies are dead.
Yeah, but there's a way to
do you get
them.
To re-kill them?
They're undead. But,
oh, hold on.
Yeah,
I've never
actually killed the actors.
I've never seen a zombie movie. So you can kill the dead?
If you cut their head off.
Wait. Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah.
Or you shoot them in the head.
Yeah.
Wait. Like, why is the head involved here? I mean, like, why is that the thing?
It's brain function.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, have you watched Walking Dead?
No, I've never seen any zombie stuff. I don't watch scary things.
Well, according to zombie lore,
I won't even go on the Haunted Mansion ride at Disney World.
Really?
No.
Will they take your head and switch it?
What about the Tower
of
Terror?
They switch your head?
It's awesome.
What are you talking about?
Don't take Cohen because it's terrifying. But
yeah,
I'm never going on that.
I mean, it's like funny scary
You're
for adults.
So silly.
But there's one part where there's a hologram, and it used to just be like a ghost hitchhiker. And it's like this hologram of a ghost that like sits on your car, but they just redid all the technology. So now they take your picture and the ghost will like pick up your heads and switch them. And it looks like in the mirror, it looks like your head gets lifted off and
so
put on your...
So my head on Maya's body.
Yeah.
That is a perfection of beauty.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
I thought I was perfect already. Apparently I'm not. Thanks.
So how do you use a chainsaw fake?
This is a little unclear because I, in preparation for the podcast, watched several of the videos that this company's posted online, and it doesn't show the chainsaw in action. It does show the airsoft guns, which is essentially dudes running around and shooting people with zombie masks on in the head, but it doesn't show the chainsaw,
okay,
which it does seem like a little odd. I think you get foam bats, though.
Okay. See, I think... I agree that this is a great idea, but they really need to take it one step farther and make it all robots so you can actually use real weapons.
Really?
Yeah, but I think that would end like that episode of The Simpsons. Do you remember that? Where they went to Duff World, like Duff Gardens or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, the robots.
And the animatronic robots became self-aware and tried to kill everyone in the park.
But I mean, how... Like, the difference between... firing an airsoft gun at someone and literally firing a shotgun at a robot and blowing its head off is night and day.
I think you're wildly increasing the cost and liability.
Well, I agree. Like, but this place is called Wish.
Right. It's not the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
I mean, if you said my wish is to go to the moon, I don't think for the price that you are able to pay that they can make that wish come true.
What use are they then?
The company? So you're telling me if someone was like, dude, Ryan, I got you an awesome birthday present. We're all going to a zombie training boot camp and we're going to storm a warehouse full of zombies. You wouldn't be down for that?
I mean, I'd be excited, but not as excited as if, like, you know.
There should be paint guns or laser tag or something where you can kill them, you know. Not with real bullets like right. Ryan wants
but
to.
But I thought the only thing you could do is cut their heads off.
Yeah.
You can shoot them in the head.
You can shoot them in the head.
Yeah, like on zombie shows, a shot to the head will do the job
Let me ask you this. So if it's... So their heart is dead, but you're saying it's brain function is why they're still
moving.
That's
why but they can barely do anything besides move and eat.
Besides move and eat. Yeah,
yeah, it's just like... A reanimated rigor mortis. Yeah.
But how are they?
We can watch.
How do they digest the food if there's no blood circulation?
That's not really explained.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times these zombie shows are a bit more metaphor.
Why do they need? Why do they need food?
They don't really need it. It's like a compulsion.
They're just bloodthirsty. Yeah.
I thought that's vampires. We're bloodthirsty.
They turn and then anytime they bite you, they turn you into a zombie because they infect
you. I thought
that
was vampires.
No.
Yes.
I mean, it could be vampires.
It's very similar. Yeah.
Very similar.
Vampires can choose to infect you.
So, but vampires, if you chop their head off, what happens?
Nothing.
They have
it grows
parts.
Back. You have to stab them
their
through the heart.
Their vampire head grows back.
You have to stab them through the heart. You have to stab them through the heart. You have to burn them.
Like a lizard tail.
Yeah.
Their face, their entire head, their brain grows back.
Mm-hmm. You have to stab them through the heart.
Here's one thing
I think
we're neglecting in this conversation. Neither zombies or vampires are real.
Oh. What?
You need to do some reading, Cameron, basically. I have some books for you.
Some fourth grade level books.
I do. Yeah. They're very interesting. And movies to go along with.
The fourth graders never ask these types of questions. Cameron, I think the only way you can really get to the bottom of a lot of these questions is enrolling yourself in the zombie boot camp. I mean, first-hand experience.
I'd have my hand raised the entire time. Excuse me. So what are they doing over there? I don't understand. Sir, why are you here? Sir, this is the Make-A-Wish Foundation for zombie lovers.
I went to Halloween Horror Nights once in the day.
I did too.
I've never done that. I've heard it's terrifying.
Yeah, it is terrifying. But I remember, I mean, there's people that are hired to be zombies and dead people and murderers and stuff and be all around.
Whereas Jesse calls them professional zombies.
Professional zombies. And
you hand someone your business card and just says, zombie. Business is good. It is good right now.
I got Halloween Horror Nights.
Field.
I got to make the Wish Foundation.
I'm busy. And I remember being chased by people with chainsaws, and they were real chainsaws with the chain taken off.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, it sounded real and it looked real, you know. But it could touch you because it wouldn't.
I went to Halloween Horror Nights twice. The first time it was a whole bunch of haunted houses, and I was with a bunch of friends, and I was the rational one going, they can't hurt me. I will sue them. So nothing.
So you're literally not getting invited to anything ever again.
So people are jumping out and like, I'm going to grab you. And I'm like, you can't grab me. You cannot touch me. I would just stare them down. They would lose interest and go away. You know. So all my friends were like huddled masses. So
the whole time was a real blast.
So everybody was like huddled masses behind me, knowing that I won't flinch. I, you know, whatever. And so, like, anyway, and we're going through. So that's first. It was fun, whatever. So I was like, that's fine. So I went back the next year. The next year, they turned it into this like occult type demon, evil type thing. Not just scary boo type stuff, but like sacrificing. It was very dark. And I haven't been back since.
Cameron, I got bad news for you. That personality type, I just hope you're never in the scenario of a real horror movie because you're the first one dead. like everyone's out camping in a cavern. Like, man, those noises outside are real creepy. Someone should go check. And you're like, there is nothing out there, guys. This is, you know, my family's owned this land for years.
Okay, hold
I'm going to go out there and prove you there's nothing out there. Everyone's like, we haven't seen Cameron in a while.
No, in that scenario, hey, that's real life. You can get shot. If that scenario, if we were camping at Universal Studios, right. I would say I will go. I can't get hurt, or else I will sue them.
And you were fairly
certain.
For your
own good, I just suggest you have an attitude adjustment when it comes to these scary things, because I've seen how it ends for guys that approach these situations.
Yeah, Cameron's never seen those movies
within the first 15 minutes.
The only time I've ever been in a haunted house, because like they actually freak me out.
I'll take you.
It's really stupid.
I'll take you. I'll be your rock.
Because I'm hyper rational in everyday life, like to a fault usually. And like, I don't know why, like the atmosphere or something freaks me out. But this was at Universal Studios.
You don't know why the atmosphere of a haunted house frightens me? I'm pretty sure that it's the sole intention of its design is to do
that. But I mean, but it's like what Cameron was saying, is it's like, I know in my head that like, I mean, it's the same reason going on roller coasters isn't really that scary. Because it's like no one dies on these.
Sometimes they do. Yes, they do. I mean, like regularly.
But the odds are in your favor.
Yeah.
It's like a German tourist who stood up, or a guy who's trying to like prove something, and he got out of the
harness. Or it's like a drunk person.
A German tourist who stood up. Yeah.
So I was at Universal Studios in Hollywood, and we were going through this haunted house, and like I'm pretty freaked out at this point, and all of a sudden this like little person dressed in some kind of all furry costume jumps out and just starts screaming. Scares the crap out of me. All I remember is I like jumped, shoved the little person, and ran out the rest of the way.
And you were forcibly removed from the park.
Like looking back, I'm like, I probably could have gotten in trouble for that.
I think so.
And I not ran.
Yeah, but yeah, I just booked it out there. I'm like, nothing could hurt me.
But in the other case, you're so rational that when you're on a roller coaster, you don't pull yourself out of your harness and point to a guy and go, "Hey Bjorn, watch this."
Yeah. All right, Maya, what do you have?
I brought a slice, just letting people know that Jesus is still appearing in different objects around the world. This recently happened here, just south of us in Florida. A woman was watching The Bachelor, and she saw something on that she thought was a pretty design, so she paused it and to take a picture of it with her phone. And when she took the photo, the glare that came back was, in her opinion, the image of Jesus Christ praying.
Jesus
on the set of The Bachelor.
On the set of The Bachelor.
Jesus has nothing to do with The Bachelor.
Is this like Three and a Half Men where there's that?
I highly doubt that was Jesus.
On Three and a Half Men, that movie where there's the ghost in the curtains with no feet.
Three
Men and a Baby.
Oh.
What did I say?
Three and a Half Men.
It's like a mixture of Two and a Half Men. And
the Charlie Sheen's remake of Three Men and a Baby. You don't remember that? The half is a ghost.
Yeah, so she somehow was able to get the local news to pick this up and write a story about it. But I just enjoy her quote. She said, "All I want is for people to know that God is right there in your house, no matter what crisis you have.
Or what terrible show you're watching.
We are all children of God."
Well, I think maybe she possibly has good intentions, but considering it showed up on the set, Jesus evidently showed up on the set of The Bachelor.
Right.
Praying that this show would be canceled. Right. All right, what do you have, Ryan?
All right, I have exciting news from the Vatican.
More exciting than the Dwight Howard staying with the Magic?
No.
That's the right answer.
Yeah. The Pope is working with a famous, what do you call it, a parfumier?
I have no idea
Like a person who makes perfumes.
Oh, okay.
Parfumier?
Perfumier?
Yeah, maybe that's better. Perfumier. The Pope is working with a perfume maker.
That's how you walk into his haberdashery, and ding ding. Hey.
The Pope's here.
See, I picture his haberdashery. It's like, you know, my stereotypical picture of any chemist, where like there's crazy swirly tubes and beakers, and he's wearing a lab coat, you know.
So the Pope,
as opposed to how I would make it, which is buying a bunch of perfumes and just pouring them into one big vat.
So it smells like Stetson.
Yeah. Oh, this is terrible. Time to try again. Sorry, Pope. Back to the drawing board.
So the Pope is working with a perfume creator to create a signature scent for the Pope. But here's the kicker. It's not going to be on sale like most celebrity scents. It's just for the Pope's exclusive use. So basically,
that seems like a good use of church money.
So basically, he's only getting cologne for himself to use, but he's getting custom cologne.
He just
cologne.
Doesn't want to smell like anybody else.
Yeah.
That seems pointless. That is a waste of Catholic money.
Well, and honestly,
I picture the Pope is kind of a polo man myself.
And honestly, if you're the Pope, like, you're probably going to Mass at least every day, right?
Right.
So you're being coated in incense single Mass.
Yeah. I wonder if that's one of the ingredients in his scent.
What if it's just incense?
What if it's just cinnamon?
It's just boiled cinnamon.
His office smells like Christmas.
I'd be hungry all day. Like, man, I could really use Auntie Anne's right now.
All right, that'll do it for Slices. Stay tuned. Up next, Carrie Job.
Blue Like Jazz the movie is finally coming to theaters on April 13th, and you can win a trip to an official premiere. You and a guest will win flight and hotel accommodations, have the chance to meet the filmmakers and cast, and then be among the very first to see one of the most talked about movies of 2012. To enter to win and watch exclusive behind-the-scenes clips, interviews, and the Donald Miller video blog, visit relevantmagazine.com/bluelikejazz.
You're listening to Mike Snow. Song is The Wave. It's from his new album. Carrie Job is a singer-songwriter and a worship leader from Texas. She's a featured worship leader on the Gateway Worship Project's Living for You and Wake Up the World. In 2009, she released her self-titled debut album. Now, she's released 4 studio solo albums, including her brand new one, Where I Find You. She recently came through our studio and performed a few songs for us. Performing We Are, here's Carrie Job. That was Carrie Jobe. Check her out at carriejobe.com. You're listening to Sucre, I think. The song is When We Were Young. Wait, what? Not to be confused with We Are Young.
No.
Which we played two breaks ago.
Correct.
All right, there you go.
I think that is Stacey Dupree from one of the Isley sisters.
Oh, really?
That's who that is. She's got a solo project out.
I did not know that.
It's really good.
The video is playing right now on Relevant TV if you want to check it out. Cheyenne Marie Mize is an indie rock artist from Louisville, Kentucky. The New York Times described her 2010 debut Before Lately as, quote, sweet without being cloying, weary without hopelessness. After the release of her debut, Mize was chosen by NPR as one of their 10 discoveries at last year's South by Southwest. Her brand new album, We Don't Need, was released January 24th, and it's getting a lot of buzz. Our very own Elise Gilligan recently spoke to her. Here is Cheyenne Marie Mize.
Feel like We Don't Need feels like listening to a playlist rather than an EP from one sole artist, and each track is a different mood and a different style. And I think you've even said that these tracks are meant to be digested individually. So I was wondering, what made you want to put out an album like that when it seems like so many artists today seem to be striving for the concept albums or one cohesive sound, and you went this other route?
Well, I guess where I am, or where I was when I was recording We Don't Need, which is about almost a year ago now, I had a group of songs, but also I knew that I wasn't going to be able to afford to put out a full-length album or have the time to record or the money to record or put out a full-length record at the time. Really, I just had a group of songs that I wasn't sure was going to find a home anywhere else, and I felt like I wanted them out there in the world. And at this point, I'm not, I don't know, I don't have a cohesive sound, and I don't know that I'm going towards that necessarily. So these were just kind of the songs that had formed at the time, and it just made sense to try to get them out into the world.
Can I put a penny in the wishing well, can I put a penny in the wishing well, can I put a penny in the wishing well, I gave all my dollars away, well can I get a little of you.
We Don't Need, it starts with your most playful song, Wishing Well, which I believe is the single, and then ends with that distorted, moody track in Back Around. And there's everything in between in the mix. Was there a particular track on this EP that stood out to you or that you feel is a mark of innovation in your musical catalog?
More so, I think it just shows kind of a little taste of a lot of different things that I'm interested in. I mean, I don't know that any one has more relevance than any other. I do think that a lot of the, I just actually in December started recording another full length, and I think more of the things that I'm recording right now are leaning a little bit towards more maybe like that lingers and those things, but it's a little bit in every direction, and I think I'll always be a little bit that way.
Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself.
Now, you've gotten the chance to work with a lot of artists in such a short time, and most notably, I think a lot of people recognize your work with Bonnie Prince Billy. What has it been like working with other artists, and how do you feel like that has influenced your music?
Well, that's where I came from in the music world. I never intended necessarily to be a performer. I went to school for music therapy and did that for a couple of years, and then while doing that was really just kind of playing with as many people as possible. I mean, I think there was a point in town in Louisville here where I was playing with, you know, 6 or 7 bands on a regular basis, and mostly playing violin because that's what people needed. But then increasingly singing more and doing things like that. And I mean, that's what music is for me, is playing music with people. And so it's definitely been a challenge to go out as a solo artist and figure out what that's like, because that's not my favorite part, you know. But now having a band with me on the road and really getting to play music with people that I love every night and playing music that I love to play and want to share with people, I mean, that's really exciting.
You call me beautiful, but you must have seen the light in someone else's eyes. It wasn't me.
That was Cheyenne Marie Mize. Check her out at CheyenneMarieMize.com.
I want you to go out there and find somebody else. I want him to treat you like I know he should. I want you to find somebody new for yourself.
You're listening to Delta Spirit. The song is California. So when Carrie Job came through, she was actually out on tour doing the Winter Jam tour. Came through in the afternoon and recorded 3 songs in our studio. We filmed all 3, and they are absolutely stunning. We also have an interview with Carrie that you're really going to want to watch, her telling her story. And it was really revealing, actually, a lot of stuff I didn't know about her. It's just a fantastic performance. Head over to relevant.tv to watch them, or you can see them on our YouTube channel. You definitely aren't going to want to miss them. Performing One Desire, here is Carrie Job.
Here
That was Carrie Jobe. Check out the video of these performances and another track, as well as an interview, at relevant.tv. You're listening to Cloud Nothings. They have a self-esteem problem. I think clouds are more than nothing. They provide shade.
Rain.
Rain.
Humidity. Shapes.
Shapes.
Pretty to fly through.
Animals.
Humidity. The song is Stay Useless. See? Stay Useless by the Cloud Nothings. I feel bad for
them. These people really hate clouds.
They need a pep talk. They need a pep talk. They need a pick me up. It's from their new album, Attack on Memory. Okay, it's time for your feedback. Last week, we asked you, what's the weirdest thing you've ever purchased at a flea market or garage sale? You went over to the podcast episode page at relevantmagazine.com, posted your replies there. Here's a few of our favorites.
I love that T-Money 9000 only felt the need to use one word. Underwear.
Oh, no.
Enough said, T-Money. No, enough said. Any more details?
There is not enough bleach.
Probably not read your slice.
There's not enough bleach in the world. No.
Lydia said that the weirdest thing she saw at a flea market was a stuffed cat's head. Framed.
What?
Yeah. She said to take a photo
of it. How do you frame that? Like, is it in like a little like trophy case?
It's a decoupage box. No, wait, decoupage. What am I thinking? What's that thing where like they build the little scenes in the shoeboxes?
Diorama.
Diorama. Yeah. It's a diorama cat head box.
I'm hoping, did she purchase it?
No, they just took a photo of it.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Talk about something terrifying to have in your home. It's like, that's one of those things where you wake up the next morning and the framed cat head is in another part of the house that you didn't put it in the night before. Like, what the heck? I thought, I could have sworn we put it on the mantle.
I had dinner.
Why is it sitting at the end of the bed?
I had dinner with my family last night for my birthday, and they had asked, like, what I wanted. And I just, over the years, I have asked for odd things for my office. You know, I have a lot of signed sports memorabilia in my office and other conversation starters like the Florida Swamp Monster and Big One Indian Head and different things. And so I was like, I haven't gotten anything weird in a while. So I told my dad I wanted something weird. So he went down to the taxidermist and said, my son wants something that's a conversation starter for his office to the taxidermist. And the taxidermist brings out this massive alligator claw. Like, it's probably a foot and a half long of alligator claw. And he goes, I can tailor this for his office if you'd like.
Oh, my God.
And so the guy cut into it business card holders and then hollowed out the stump of the leg.
Well, that's amazing.
And that's where you put your pins. It's disgusting, and I had to touch it.
I remember one of my first impressions. This was way back in the day when I was like first like interning there and seeing like all those, you know, because you had like the jackalope, the Florida Swamp Monster, which is the rear side of a deer with a face on it, but yeah. A very realistic face. Yeah, and several other things. I remember thinking, Cameron must be really into cryptozoology.
No, it's I told my dad for Christmas one year, I don't know, surprise me. And my dad's like, well, let me think, what could I get him that he would never expect? And so
what do I get the man that has it all?
He has a taxidermist. My dad, who's never been hunting, we never went fishing, my dad has a taxidermy guy now. And if I ever want something weird, he can make a call. So
does he just say, let me call my guy?
Oh my God.
I think my favorite one, because he included picture links, is from Jason McDaniel. And he says, I went to a flea market with my wife and in-laws in Gatlinburg, which I can't even imagine what that would be like.
It's called Dollywood.
Lots of fleas at Dollywood.
He thinks it's a flea market. They were actually just at Dollywood.
First of all, the picture of the baby is the creepiest thing ever. Creepy. And then why are there open cereal
There's
boxes?
Open cereal boxes for sale. Open cereal boxes.
This is the strangest thing.
What was that last one?
That reminds me, I was listening to NPR on the way, or some news channel on the way from work last night, and they're talking about how it's an increasing problem where people will go into like a Walmart and fill their basket with Tide detergent and just roll it out of there.
Yeah, people are stealing like, Tide all over the place.
Bring like $7 on the black market and in flea markets. I'm like, who's going to flea markets to buy laundry detergent?
Well, or underwear.
There's a detergent black market?
Kate Hensley says she visited a flea market outside of Daytona Beach, and she found a 30-minute teeth whitening station, which can't be a good idea.
Did that.
a medieval weapons store and knockoff Sharpies.
I if I'm going to a flea market, I try to keep my mouth closed or wear one of the SARS masks the whole time, much less, you know, have someone working on, you know, my gums.
Yeah. You don't really want your dentistry.
Instant gingivitis. It's just called the gingivitis station, and they don't get rid of it. They distribute it. Carrie Jade Fuller said that this is a flea market near her college. She didn't say where this was, but she does have a picture so that it confirms it's real. But it's called the STD Central Flea Market.
At least they're honest.
And there's no indication what that acronym stands for in this scenario.
Speaking of other feedback we got, I want to apologize to our younger listeners. I got an email from a dad who was listening to last week's podcast with the family in the family car. And apparently late in the podcast, I was joking that at the Magic game tomorrow night, I would be so upset that I would just be talking trash to the Nets. And I said in a silly voice, F you, right? And the dad was like, my 8-year-old son is now going around in that voice going, F you.
He is not.
Yes. And I have to explain to him that is not appropriate. Please be aware of that, not, you know. And I felt terrible, first of all, because I don't use profanity at all, ever, and I especially would never at a game.
Aside from the F word.
aside from that one instance. No, ever. I just don't. I just think it's tacky, but I just don't. And so I had to go and explain to this father that, see, here's the thing about our podcast is things like that happen all the time. It's just Chad always takes them out, and so I was shocked when I heard that it was left in. You know, I felt really bad. So thanks a lot, Chad, for helping a little 8-year-old grow up last week.
I was going to say, also, if you're listening to it with your family, maybe not a good idea.
Well, so of course,
not anymore.
Adventures in Odyssey is for.
Yeah.
So of course, I'm listening to us today, just thinking in terms of little 8-year-olds listening in. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, this is
so.
Good.
So I'm not going to apologize, but Carrie Jade Fuller should for that STD. Central flea market.
she needs to call
I
that.
I just read what's
someone.
On the page. That's what I'm doing here.
This week, when the son downloads the podcast, his dad's going to ask him if he downloaded the clean version of the relevant podcast.
Did you get that at Walmart?
Yeah.
Oh, we're sorry.
Yeah, I felt really bad. So that's feedback we also received. Another little update. I was talking to Adam Smith. I really enjoyed Rambo of the Week. I really enjoyed it. And I saw on Facebook he's kicking up his blog. He's posting daily to it, rambooftheweek.tumblr.blogspot.com. I don't know what it is. Anyway, I said, we need to do that again. He said, anytime. And I said, maybe not every week, but maybe once a month we'll bring Adam back and do a new Rambo script. And he said, definitely. So okay, listeners, you got your wish. Adam's going to come back once a month and bring us a new Rambo script. So that'll be a lot of fun until it's no longer good.
Is this his secret plan to replace me?
No, it's only one segment. No threat.
I don't know. I feel like I'm on thin ice. The fans already love Adam more than they love me.
Well, no, you've got Hambone.
Yeah,
people.
Oh, yeah, but that's such an empty gesture.
You are the Hambone.
Okay, I saw relevant tweet yesterday. Hey, everyone, do you listen to this week's podcast? Catch up with the latest of Hambone and the crew. And I'm like, whoa. When did this turn into Hambone and the crew?
I didn't feel like that was inappropriate at all. I thought it was like a nod to the people.
Oh, my goodness. I think, actually, because I know that our normal tweeter was out of the office yesterday, I think Ryan wrote that tweet himself.
Our normal tweeter.
It was not me.
You promise?
Yeah, I promise.
All right.
Promise it wasn't me.
I really thought it was you because I was like, wait,
no. I know. But he might have paid me to do it.
Catch up with the latest from Hambone and the crew.
What?
Okay, so it's time for this week's
editorial question of the week. Hey.
Okay, so earlier in the podcast, we were talking about fantasy camps and the Wish. Is that what it's called? Fantasy camp?
Wish.co.uk.
Is it Wish or Whish? With an H.
Why? Have you seen that Wheat Thins commercial? Wheat Thins. The Stewie and the dog.
Yeah.
Why are you pronouncing the H so much? What? Wheat Thins? It's Wheat Thins. What? Wheat Thins? Anyway, Whish, the Whish Foundation, not to be confused with another similarly named one. They have a zombie fantasy camp, so to speak. Got us thinking, what would your ideal... What would your dream fantasy camp be?
Well, in my mind, the first thing I thought of was, I mean, the Chimpocalypse fantasy camp.
Wait. So you go terrifying. As a human? You go as a human and you're outnumbered by thousands of angry chimps? Or like what?
Yeah. And in this one, obviously, we wouldn't be hurting the chimps. We would just have to think of an escape where we're not, you know, attacked and dismembered by them.
I think the only way you can kill them is by chopping
and
their heads off.
And the danger's real. They're real savage chimps. And you sign a waiver because most likely you're not going to make it out alive.
So, okay, wait. So why is this your ideal one? I don't. Yeah, so you
would be awesome. It would be awesome.
Death by chimps.
No, I mean ideally you make it through, but it takes some real smarts. It's an actual scenario. Well, I guess it's technically at that point not a fantasy because it's really happening, but it would just be cool.
Yeah, because you would need. Yeah, a fantasy camp would be that there'd be professional chimpanzee actors.
Yeah, well, that's possible, but I've always said the phrase domesticated monkey is an oxymoron because it doesn't matter how well trained they are. They are moments away from snapping at any point.
I think an Invasion USA camp would be awesome.
You're a lone wolf special forces agent.
Yeah, or like Red Dawn or anything that involves a previous communist invasion.
What about this scenario? It's a fantasy prison break where you're like transported to like a fake prison. You gotta figure out how to escape.
Would you be falsely awesome. Accused and everything?
Yeah, it's like you don't even know when they're going to show up to your house as fake policemen and take you off to the jail.
And the prison warden Ooh. Is the one who's guilty.
Wait, actually, yeah. that's really cool. You sign up, but you don't know when it starts.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You could be like, you know, quote unquote, like abducted at any point and brought to this crazy prison, you know, but it's all ruse that you signed up for, but you got to figure out how to escape. It'd be totally fun.
That's pretty awesome.
Unless you were actually arrested for real things and you coincidentally also recently signed up for this. Yeah. And then you are then arrested again for evading arrest.
They're like, so it could you need to come with us. And you're like, I bet I do.
Yeah.
They're really confused at your overconfidence.
Yeah. Man, this guy is very arrogant.
And then you're in jail for like 6 months. You're like, man, I can't find this escape anywhere.
Man, this is a great fantasy camp. This is so real.
The guys at Whish really know their stuff.
They provided us with Wheatons. Anyway. Okay, so we want to know your dream fantasy camp. Head over to the podcast page at relevantmagazine.com and tell us there. This is going to be a fun one. Many thanks to Carrie Jo for coming through. Make sure to check out a brand new album available everywhere. And again, you won't want to miss seeing the videos of the three songs she performed in our studio, as well as the interview we filmed with her. You can check out all that on our YouTube channel and at relevant.tv. Also, thanks to Cheyenne Marie Mize for talking to us. You can check out her music at CheyenneMarieMize.com. On that note, we'll wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Maya Strang.
I'm Ryan Hamm.
I'm Jesse Carey.
That's Chad Michael Snavely. And thank you again to Dwight Howard for the best birthday present ever. We'll see you next week.
It's a celebration.
Celebrate good times, come on.
Let's celebrate.
There's a party going on right here. A dedication to last throughout the years.
Thanks for listening to The Relevant Podcast. For more, go to relevantmagazine.com.
We gon' celebrate and party with you. Come on now.
Celebrate.
I just hope you're never in the scenario of a real horror movie because you're the first one dead.